Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
A question, what did your baby borrow without permission? 206-803-ROCK. Hello, Kenny. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
All right, so I only told Mike a little bit of the story because this is going to make him cringe.
Okay.
So when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I stole a candy bar.
Okay. What kind of candy bar did you steal, by the way?
Well, that's the sad part. Well, one sad part is it's my least favorite candy bar. It was like a Three Musketeers.
And that's what you stole?
I stole it. It was convenient. The sad part of this whole story and the part that will make Mike cringe and probably Miles a bit. I was coming home from a PAC meeting and I was wearing my Cub Scout uniform.
Well, what's wrong with that? Perfect camouflage.
Mm-hmm. It's like the high-vis vest for a kid.
You know, an upstanding individual.
You're the last person security's going to look at.
If you walk in with a Sex Pistols t-shirt on and a pair of Chucks, I got my eye on you, kid.
Yeah.
With a skateboard on your arm or whatever you're doing, yeah, I'm looking at you, buddy. But if you come in a Cub Scout uniform, all's good.
Oh, he's a good young man.
It was just like a little convenience store gas station thing, and the cashier busted me.
Oh.
And
how dare you?
Scare the bejesus out of me, and I have not stolen a single thing ever since, and I am 65 years old.
How long did you stay in scouting?
I made it to Star, I think. Star or Life, can't remember.
So you were, in fact, a Weeblow.
Yeah, good enough.
Why did you steal a candy bar if it was your least favorite? Just typically, wherever they have candy bars, there's more than one, right? You usually got at least 12 to pick from. Like, why did you grab the one you like the least?
And it was just the opportunity. I was just like, I'm just walking by here, and this is a quick one to grab.
All right, and you got busted.
I got busted.
Bad Cub Scout. Okay, when you're in Cub Scouts, do you have to do merit badges, or is that Boy Scouts? What do you do in Cub Scouts? Just age out?
Then you do Wolf, then you do Bear, then you do Weeblow, and you're out.
Yeah. Why do they call it Weeblow?
Because
what does that mean?
It's 1 year in between Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. For whatever reason,
you're setting Weeblows up to get made fun of, right? Even as a kid.
You're going to make fun of it because it stands for Weeby Loyal Scouts.
Weeby Loyal. What, do they come up with this in Harlem?
Weeblows. Yes, they did.
Yeah. We be loyal scouts, man. We call that a we. That's what they came up with.
It was black.
All this crap that you try to teach Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, be upstanding on all this, and you came up with we be loyal scouts.
We belows.
Jesus Christ.
We belows.
We be loyal scouts.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You're going to be a Boy Scout next.
Because we belows is going to sound weird.
Have you always known that?
Yes.
Did they explain it to you at the time?
Explaining is the hard way to put that. They just what it stands right. for.
We be
loyal scouts.
Is there no like English merit badge, I'm guessing?
No.
There's reading and writing.
There was
but
patches.
They're gonna go, but we be loyal scouts, and you're gonna challenge me to prove that I can speak. Okay.
Well, keep in mind you're like 11 at that point, so you don't really care.
But even at 11.
Yeah.
If my kid came home and said that, I'd be like, what?
Like 10, whatever.
You get hit with a brick on the side of the head at recess, man?
As I recall, there were patches that you could get, and you did a few things, but I don't know if there was a whole lot of official, you know.
Trying to age up into Boy Scouts.
You know,
not until you get to Boy Scouts.
You still had parental leaders, if you will, and you just... I remember there. I don't remember a whole lot of Cub Scout meetings because I was only in the Weebelows. I wasn't a tiger or anything like that.
I was right there for Big Dummy,
Bear, Wolf, and Bobcat.
Right, and I was a Bobcat. Scout. I was a Bobcat. Well, I didn't start from the beginning, Miles. I didn't have to. That was the remedial stuff.
What was the first merit badge you got as a Boy Scout? What was the first moment you said, "All right, I am a loyal
Oceanography.
Scout"?
Oceanography.
Are you serious?
Wow, that's
cool. Maybe it was first aid.
That's cool.
I remember that because here's the thing is when I went to scout camp, the summer camp for the first year, it probably wasn't my first one. I think my first one might have been first aid because it's standard, right?
It's something useful.
Right. So when we went to Camp Meriwether, I believe, that was down in Oregon off the coast there, and they made a big deal that this is the only place within the area that you can get the oceanography merit badge. So you should go and do that one. I was like, all right, I'll do it. It was the most boring damn thing I've ever done.
What do you do? I mean, it's not like you're diving.
I remember you like studied the beach, like you know that's really what it was. Is yeah. You did
a lot of hot chicks.
It was it was marine studies and stuff like that. So I was so young at the time. I was like 12, 13 years old when this went down. I was like, I don't care about any of this right now. I got my friends that are shooting rifles right now, but I'm over here looking at a damn beach saying, "Look at the wind of the tide." Like. Hooray.
By the way, there's hundreds of merit badges you can pick.
Hundreds.
You don't need to pick that.
Are there literally hundreds?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Really?
You don't need to pick that one. That is not a
There's core, like 180.
That is
so maybe
not a core merit badge to get. Granted, you need to get 23, 24, or 26.
21 or 27.
I had 33 merit badges.
Yeah.
How many?
33.
I had enough to be the Silver Palm Eagle Scout, but I didn't get my review done.
You can get fingerprinting?
Yes, I got that one.
You did get fingerprinted.
I did.
I'm just looking now, man, at drafting, dog care, digital technology, cycling, cybersecurity. I guess that's a new one. Landscape law, metalwork, motorboating, nature, reptile and amphibian, shotgun shooting. You could have been doing that with your buddies.
Got it. But no, yeah. You had to be a certain age to do that one.
That makes sense.
And I was too young for it at the time.
Animation?
Nice. Wow. Nice.
Well, they've kept up with the times. Good for them.
They have.
What did you maybe borrow without permission? 206-803-ROCK.
Here's a new one. Artificial intelligence.
Oh, no, I got that one.
Yeah, I would say that's one of the new merit badges. I am fascinated by this. I'm in a wormhole now of Boy Scout merit badges.
You should go and do so.
I'm going to join and be arrested.
Yeah.
Hello, Scotty. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. How about you?
Good. So I stole my buddy Ben's barbecue, and then he came over that night, and I was barbecuing on his barbecue.
What did you cook for him?
Like New York strip steak.
So he knew that you took it, or you took it knowing he would show up, and you go, ha-ha, I made you dinner.
Yeah, no, hell no. He had no idea. So I made, like, mashed potatoes and New York strip steak tacos and all this stuff.
Did he not see it?
No, well, he was at work, and I drove over to his house in my truck, and I just picked it up, and it was dark outside when I was cooking, and he was like, holy F, he's like, you have the same barbecue I do, you have a dent in the same spot in your barbecue that I have.
Was he really not putting it together? Did he really think this was yours?
He was a little slow.
Well, I mean... Did you not have a barbecue?
No, I did not. No, okay. Not at the time.
Okay.
And that's why I just borrowed it basically without permission and and I was like, let's invite Ben over. And we there was a group of us that would just constantly mess with each other. Like there was this group of girls that we even had a pink plastic flamingo and we'd steal it out of each other's yards. And so then the barbecue game started and yeah.
Okay. All right.
What did anybody steal from you? I'm curious. And you're going back and forth stealing each other's crap.
I don't think I should say this on the radio.
Okay, then probably don't.
Okay. All right.
A porn collection.
What did you maybe borrow without permission? 206-803-ROCK.
Another merit badge for you. Game design. I'm just guessing the ones that weren't there when you were there.
No.
Yeah.
You're
no.
correct.
No.
No, it was just board games back in the day.
Yeah, no kidding. Hello. Brock, welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
I want to start this off by saying go M's, go Hawks, and go Kraken.
Yo,
big night. Big night.
Yeah, it is for Seattle fans, because for sure. So this is 86. I am playing basketball. It's my senior year. I'm on the varsity team, starting point guard. I'm living in Rochester, New York. You guys know that place.
I do.
Yeah, and so you know how the winters can be.
Yeah,
so
awful.
I have a basketball game, and back then, right, but they still do it today, but that was the first time I learned how to tie a tie, because you had to get dressed up to go to the games and stuff.
All right.
So you'd be in a little suit and tie and all that. Well, our game gets snowed out and canceled. So that night, I got extra time to do stuff. And so we'd done it a couple times, but we decided to go into a grocery store and steal some alcohol. And it was like a regular grocery store. And we would just slide a couple beverages in your pocket. At this point, I actually sold, it bugs me to this day that I got in trouble for this, but I put two wine coolers in each pocket and started to walk out, and then the security guy comes and grabs me, and the police get involved, and yeah, I get in trouble for it.
What kind of trouble do you get when you're stealing booze?
Well, so I'm underage at this point. I'm 17 or whatever. I have to go to court. I think I got like community service or something, but what was worse, though, was nobody knew about it. Like, the team didn't find out about it till later, and we get into the playoffs. It was the first game of the playoffs, and one of the guys on the team tells my coach, because it ended up getting around, that Brock got arrested for stealing alcohol. And so I ended up having to sit the bench for the playoffs and sit in that same suit and watch everybody else play basketball.
So, how much time had passed from the time that you got busted before the coach found out?
It would like 2 or 3 months. It had been a while.
Yeah, at that point, I would not care.
Were you? Was it just one game?
I thought I was gonna. What's that?
Were you suspended for one game, or were you done for the year?
No, he found out it was the playoffs, and he found out at that point, and there was like no tolerancy, blah blah blah, kind of thing, and so no, we won the first game, and then we lost the second game, and yeah, I had to sit through the whole thing.
Okay, I'm curious, yeah. Man, how much snow fell that they canceled a basketball game because of snow? Because on the time that I lived in Rochester, you get 2 feet overnight, and the roads were plowed, your driveway was plowed, like it was just game on. Nothing ever shut
good.
Down.
It was a good foot and a half. It was a lot of snow, and it was cold too. So that was the other thing. It gets really cold.
Okay.
So, well, yeah. I just thought that was the Rochester way.
We would do Mad Dog 2020, because it was a square, rectangular size.
It's not as conspicuous in your pocket.
Plus, you could walk into the back cooler. So when you go to any convenience store, you could open up the door and go in if you wanted a keg or a couple cases that were cold.
Nice.
But they also had, but that also when you looked out, those were the doors to the inside, as far as the glass doors where you could access that cooler from that side. So they put all the Mad Dog 2020, Boone's Farm, all the flavored wines, so to speak, the fortified wines.
Oh, yeah.
So you just grab one, man. You stick it under your arm underneath the coat.
Yep.
You just put your arms down by your side. You walk out. Hope to God you can keep it tight enough not to drop it.
Nice. That's
it. Winter coats were always, they're always kind of slick.
Sure.
So you can feel the bottle like sliding and you're squeezing into armpits. But basically, everyone walked out of there looking like a T-Rex.
Yeah.
Like everyone's elbows are pinned to their side.
Mm-hmm. What did you maybe borrow without permission? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Chad. Welcome to the men's room.
How are you guys doing today?
Hola.
Hola. Go Mariners.
Hell
go
yeah. Mariners. Hell yeah.
So, when I was young, me and my best friend stole my dad's Monte Carlo. And back in the day, it's one of the old school Monte Carlos with the T-top on it, with the glass T-tops.
Yeah.
And I was in Denver, Colorado, and we hauled ass to Boulder. I think we had the girls with us, and we drank a six-pack, and then we hauled ass back. And he never said anything about it. And about a few years later, he told me, hey, did you have a good time in my car?
Oh.
he let me get away with it.
What time was it?
This is in the 80s.
Okay. What I'm saying is, was he at home? Did you take it when he was there? I mean, did he have more than one car?
I snuck in his room and I stole the keys off the side table.
Okay.
And he was home.
He was asleep in bed.
And you guys took it. Man, I don't know if I would have tried that move.
I couldn't help myself. We had two
I'll tell
girls,
you what, though, man.
Well, you mentioned to girls.
Yeah.
I get it.
To be honest with you, people definitely loved their Corvettes back then.
Mm-hmm.
That was a more expensive car. Transams, the IROC Zs of the world.
Oh, yeah.
But I always thought that Monte Carlo was just a badass car.
It is a badass car. Or at least it was at the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got a sedan, man. You got one big-ass door. I don't know. There's something about that car. You're like, man, I'd like to have one of those.
It's a cool car. My uncle, man, he had a red Corvette Stingray. And then when he traded that in, which devastated me as a kid. I couldn't believe he traded it in for anything. He had the Pontiac Firebird.
Granddad.
Yeah. Yeah, the old Burt Reynolds style with the thing on the hood. And I'm like, this is the coolest
problem
car
is people
ever.
Would buy the blue ones. And I was like, why would you buy the blue when you can buy the black?
They got the.
So it was a blue with a silver instead of black with a gold.
He got the black with the gold. The traditional, in my mind, the correct one.
Yes.
Oh, trust me. My uncle, he was a very vain man. If he's going to get the Pontiac Firebird, he's going to get the black one with the gold trim because the way he would equate it, it got Burt Reynolds laid.
Yeah.
I'm like, also, Burt Reynolds looks like Burt Reynolds, and you don't. That went a long way. But here's the other looking dude. He used to slay it back in the day.
Well, yeah.
As a kid.
That's part of the reason you had that car.
That's exactly why I got the car.
The culture right now, I mean, maybe that Honda Civic world, maybe that's part of that.
If you do it right, I guess.
But
his car just said, look, I'm slinging some D if you're a horny hop in a car. As a kid, I didn't piece this together. Then when I got older, I'm like, because every time he'd visit us, he had a different chick on his arm, and all of them were always hot. Every time he came to visit. Yep. Just like, wow, it's a smoke show.
What did you maybe borrow without permission? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Tim. Welcome to the men's room.
How you doing, man?
Hola.
Hey, to talk about the walk-in coolers was bringing me back because I just visited a buddy of mine just got out of the hospital. We've been friends for over 50 years. It reminded me of a time there was a place called Hi-Ho Shopping Center in Puyallup.
Hi-Ho!
And they had a walk-in cooler, and of course, no security cameras at that time. We used to go in and see how many beers we could chug and not get caught.
You know, so you would just...
And your eyes would be watering and laughing to beat the band. We almost got caught by one time by a guy and said, what are you boys doing in there? We told him. He went in with us. He was an older dude. You know, it was great, but...
Damn.
Just got out of the hospital. We've been friends for over. But yeah, I wanted to relay that to you because the walking cooler thing really brought back good memories.
You make a good point, man. If you have a screw on top 40 or if you have just, you know,
oh,
like
no,
a screw
it was
top.
It was always cans, you know, and we'd bring a church key in. This is back before you even pull tabs, you know. And stubbies. They were stubbies.
Yeah.
And then the idea was to chug them, pop the cap back on, and put it back in the case. So some poor fool probably bought a case and was two or three beers short.
Sure, sure. Not your problem.
Never try it now, man. Too much security.
Yeah.
Man, times really have changed. Just as far as that goes. Not that you want to encourage people being thieves, but what used to be like a rite of passage, you know, for any teen or young person growing up, you could do it because, like you said, no cameras, no phones. Yeah. Nobody had a... Now I'm like, look, bro, just don't do
anything. I wish I would have thought of that.
What's that? I'll just chug them in there?
Yeah. Just open a Mickey's Big Mouth, man, unscrew it. Or back then it was a peel top.
Yeah.
But just chug a few of those, man.
Well, that's all we had, man.
Yeah, I mean,
that was the case. If you had a can, it was a peel. The only thing I've done like that, and again, much like my Value City tennis shoes, this was not our goal. But we're Baltimore, and again, we're broke. Me and my buddy Paul went to Safeway, and all we were going to buy were Pop-Tarts. It was probably like 12:30 at night. We're a little bit high. We have enough money to buy Pop-Tarts and nothing
you're high
else.
And you got to go get Pop-Tarts. That's a mission.
So we stand in line, but there's one register open. There had to be like 30 people in this line. So we just started eating the Pop-Tarts. And our thought was, when we get up to the cash register, we will simply explain, we have eaten these Pop-Tarts and we'll pay for them. By the time we finished the Pop-Tarts, we're still like 14th in line. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of looking at each other like, all right, let's just go. So basically, we walked to Safeway to eat a box of Pop-Tarts and walk home. But no, that was not the goal. We were going to buy them, but the line took too long. Pop-Tarts tasted too good. And we're like, oh, well.
Here's the smoothest one I've ever seen in my life. My buddy Brian pulled this one off. Okay. Right. We would go to Dr. Pizza. Dr. Pizza did a ton of pickup. There was no place to sit. It was a counter. That's it.
Okay.
So you walked in, you got your pizza. All right. My buddy Brian, he got wise enough where when you looked up, they would write the name of the customer on the side of the box, okay, in a Sharpie.
Hey, I'm Craig.
In a Sharpie. So it would be, you know, it would say Hawk, all right? And it would say Hawk on two pizzas, maybe three, all right? Brian would go in knowing he might be going to order a pizza. But if not, he would just say, like, look, I'm going to take the Hawk pizzas, you know? So he would just go and, well, he wouldn't steal them. But he would buy the ones that were already made.
So he'd pay for them. He didn't want to wait.
Yeah, he just didn't want to wait. So he would just go in and buy other people's pizzas as they were sitting up there hot and fresh so he didn't have to sit there for 20 minutes and wait for him to make a pizza, which is not really
just stealing somebody's time is all. And I kind of actually, I respect that. Yeah, at least he paid for it. Right,
exactly. Yeah. And he would take whatever they had. He'd say, and he would just buy them.
But he's hazarding a guess about what the toppings are, right?
Most of the time, everybody was fairly, this was before the pepperoni, white pizza.
Right.
Or the vegetarian pizza.
Cheese and pepperoni, that's what you got.
So either it's cheese or pepperoni.
Either way, if you're buying three, man, I mean, you got to, and also they had a discount if you bought two pizzas. So it was like cheaper to buy two than it was to buy one.
Mm-hmm.
Or like,
yeah, it worked out.
If the pizza was like $8, the next one was like $6 or $5.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, hell, it's like, just walk out there with three pizzas. He paid for them, but... What did you maybe borrow without permission? 206-803-ROCK.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
In the men's room.
Come up here at Fourth Hotel. Your guess is as good as mine. Categories: the most obese states in America and the greatest Mariners of all time.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, we're doing that at 4:30, right after emails on our question, what did you maybe borrow without permission? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Carlos. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello. Buenos dias.
Hola.
Well, let's see. I was 15 years old living in Miami Beach. I had my learner's permit, and at that time, my dad had bought a brand new Datsun 280ZX.
Ooh, Datsun. That was kind of my dad's style, too, man. 280s, 260s, but 240. Datsun. Yeah.
Yeah, I had the full-on T-tops, like glass T-top, like that earlier caller mentioned.
Yep.
It was just a sweet, sweet vehicle. He had just bought it. And as the timing worked out, my dad, he had to go to the hospital for a few nights for a heart procedure. And he specifically said, do not touch the keys to the car, which I interpreted, please look for the car keys and go for a joyride. And sure enough, I searched all over his room. I found him. He had it hidden. I found him. I called up a buddy of mine. Let's just go totally sober, no drinking, no nothing. Just hop in and go fast. And in Miami Beach, there's all these little islands and connected by causeways, like long bridges. And so just flying like, hey, let's just, see how fast this can go. And sure enough, just flying down and then caught the top of a bridge. And the 280ZX is so light, it just lifted up off the ground. And when the car landed, it landed right on a curve with a giant tree and went head on into the tree.
How fast were you going?
I was going pretty fast to the point that the entire engine was just like an accordion. There was no more engine. It just pushed in.
Were you wearing a seatbelt? Just based on the time and the make of the car, that was not really mandatory back then.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm pretty sure, this was a while ago. So yeah, we had pretty sure I had my seatbelt on, but the thing is my friend, when on impact, I saw his head crack the windshield. He cracked it with his head. And I saw that on impact. I'm like, oh, great. I just killed my buddy. We come to a halt. I look at him and he looks at me and he's totally fine. He's not cut or bleeding or nothing. And I'm like, are you okay? And he's like, I'm fine. But dude, what about you? I look in the mirror, and it's like a scene out of Carrie. I'm just, my whole face is just bloody, and my face went into the steering wheel.
Of course.
Just got cut up really bad, cars totaled, ambulance came, police came, tow truck came, the whole nine yards, and I'm 15, and so the ambulance is like, all right, we got to take you to the hospital, you got to get stitches, your face is cut up pretty bad.
Is it the same hospital where your dad's getting his heart operated on?
You totally do. Yes, because in this area of Miami Beach, it's a very, very small town. Sure enough, I get to the hospital where my dad's at. The doctor, I'm 15, and so he's like, I can't do anything unless your dad, you know, your parent or legal guardian signs off on this procedure. And so I tell him, like, well, my dad's here in this hospital, but he has a serious heart condition, and you know he's not going to sign the papers, or he shouldn't know about this. Basically,
or could give him a heart attack.
He will have a heart attack, yeah, exactly, if we tell him.
You're
gonna
kill your dad.
Well, he's, I think, pretty much recovering from one and having a procedure. So sure enough, the doctor looks up his files, and the doctor says, "Like, yep, you're right. We are not telling your dad."
Oh, really?
Yeah, he agreed. He's like, "Nope, I can see what's happening with your father. This is a big no." So the doctor was cool enough to, like, you know what, I'll sign up on these papers. Kind of technically, I'm not really supposed to in a certain extent, but considering the circumstances, And then I had to tell my dad, like, a few days later. But that's my story.
What is your father's reaction to this?
Well, I think fortunately for me was the fact that he was so weak from all this heart issue that, that's the only reason I still had my hide.
Yeah.
Hey, if I was at full strength, I probably would not be walking for a while.
So when he did get to full strength, had it become water under the bridge at that point, or did he hang on to that anger, like when he got healthy, to say, okay, now here comes the punishment?
Well, that's the tricky part. I mean, part of my dad's heart issues, he was always a very angry man. And so I think,
Dad, don't get angry. Hey, I'm looking out for you, man. Yeah. You said don't look for the keys, and I did, and you had them hidden. And yeah, you said don't drive the car, and then I did. Mm-hmm. And then I smashed into a tree, and I had to go to the hospital. But, Dad, if you get upset, man, it's going to hurt you.
I borrowed my buddy's 300.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really drove it that much, so right. I didn't understand the intricacies of this car. But his emergency brake was not tight.
All right.
So normally when he parked on the side of the hill,
did you know this in advance?
I did not know that he kept the car in first gear when he parked. All right.
Foreshadowing.
So I borrowed his car that night, went out on a date, had a great time. He had gone back home with his buddy to go fishing. His buddy drove. So the car's there for me for the weekend. I'm going to use it.
I don't think the car was there for you for the weekend. I think the car was simply there.
But I get a knock on the door from my downstairs neighbor. She and her girlfriend, or roommate. So they knock on the door, and they're like, hey, do you know what happened to Chad's car? And I was like, no. So we walk outside, and this thing went over a grass hill. And when I say grass, I mean weeds that were about 2-3 feet high.
Right.
It was one of those hills where you couldn't, even in theory, get out there with a weed eater.
Right.
It was just too steep.
Yeah.
And that's why the weeds were so high.
And while the car rolled away.
You could see the two lines going all the way down the road. It went over Beechhurst Avenue, which was a four-lane road, and stopped when it hit the building across the street, which was a brick building. Keep in mind, back bumper.
Okay.
So it rolled down backwards, bounced off that building, and came to a rest on the sidewalk. I got down there, fired up that car. It started up fine.
All right.
I drove it back up. Then I had to get into the car. And, I mean, it was an hour to pull all the weeds out from the undercarriage of his car. And he never knew exactly what happened.
What did he, like, what tipped off any suspicion to him that something was wrong?
When he came back home and saw the tire tracks going over the hill. And he said, hey, some jackass apparently either tried to drive over this hill or tried to drive up it. And I was like, damn, man.
That's ridiculous.
Who would do that? That's crazy.
Who would do that?
Exactly. I think I eventually told him. What did you maybe borrow without permission? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Christian. Welcome to the men's room.
God, that was a rough ride, that car.
Gentlemen.
Hola.
Good morning and afternoon and evening to you.
Yes, sir.
Hola.
Long-time listener since 1977, back with Steve Slayton and Leave It to Beaver.
Wow, that's a long time.
It's been a long time. Gentlemen, I was a disc jockey over in Helena, Montana, KBLL, AM 1240, Land of the Sleeping Giant. And I don't like program directors, I'll tell you that right now. So way back in the day, we were getting drinking beer and taking little puffs on the in the radio station. The secretary, a couple of disc jockeys, the program director, his wife, and a few others decided that we were going to go out for dinner on third shift. Now, us third shifter guys that were running the radio station, the only thing we had to do was throw in 45s and every once in a while put on PBR News and flip over the satellite system over to PBR for a half hour. So we went down to a local restaurant, and we were all hungry. We were making all about $1.25 an hour back in 1980. And we decided, well, hey, if the program director and his wife is picking up the tab, we're going to go down to the local drive-in, drive-through restaurant, kind of like the big thing. Well, it was called Thrill. You might remember this. No pun intended. I'm sorry, but it was called Sambo's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember. Oh, no, they were for various reasons,
they were
but
over,
yes.
They were all over the Southeast.
Yep.
Well, they were called Little Black Sambo's initially.
Yeah, Little Black Sambo's.
And then they changed the name just to Sambo.
Because they were like, Little Black Sambo's? That's offensive. But Let's just call it Sambo's.
But they had the cartoon Sambo on the sign.
That was my point. Like, guys, yeah. As long as the image is there.
1980, so 19 of us go into this restaurant, and the program director says, you think I make more money than you do? So we order cheeseburgers, omelets, we're stoned, we're drunk, we're hungry, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and we're the only people in the restaurant. So I didn't know that we were going to be borrowing their food. So the program director and his wife gets up and says, oh, I forgot my wallet, I'll be back. They take off. So now there's 17 of us. Three of them said, I don't think they're coming back, and they get up and leave. Then the last six of us go, well, we're not getting stuck with this $900 bill. We're out of here. And we left.
Was it a $900 bill?
Yeah.
Jesus.
We ordered all sorts of stuff.
I feel like you could order everything on the menu at that place. It wouldn't be $900.
Pretty much.
Jesus.
We all left, and as the manager and the waitresses saw us leaving at twos and threes and fours with the biggest table and the biggest bill of the night, they started screaming. The manager says, we're calling the police. We're all jumping in our cars, our bicycles, our skateboards, and heading back to the radio station. And if you guys know how small Helena, Montana was back in the 80s, we made the front page news and said that there were 19 people on the loose, that they had appropriated food without paying for it and borrowed something that didn't belong to them.
I like how you're on the loose.
Mm-hmm. We had to go underground for almost 6 months acting like we were felons. It was an amazing story.
You should be glad that back then, if you were on the radio, nobody knew what you looked like. Like, if I tried that now, they'd be like, yo, Thrill. Hey, man. Yep. You know, by name. Yep. Pay your damn bill, man.
What did your baby borrow without permission? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Michael. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So here's the deal. So I graduate college, and my first job is managing a deli in the airport.
So what did you take in college?
Right. See that point. So political science. My mom banged on me when I was complaining that I couldn't find a job, and she was like, you dummy, you shouldn't have took political science. And I was like, wait. Why I've hated school my whole life. Here you go. So I'm managing this deli. So it was two spots. It was a deli and then it was also a restaurant.
All right.
And the manager, I hated him and he hated me. Right. So he's always taking digs at me constantly. And he's, you know, like the Southern, you know, Baptist type of guy, and is always talking to me about church. And I'm like, dude, what is up with this guy in church? And he's like, you know, you're a sinner, and, you know, you go to those places where the naked women are, and da-da-da, and saying, I'm like, whoa. I'm like, yo, you need to calm down with
but
that.
Wait, was he right?
Of course he was.
Okay.
Of course he was. And so I'm like, you know, look, I'm an upstanding citizen. I graduated from college. You know, I'm working a job, plan, I'm paying my taxes, the whole thing, right? So this guy's like constantly digging at me. So he tells me, I'm going to leave you this book. So look for it in the safe. I'm like, a book? I'm like, what are you, So he leaves me a religious book. And so, as you guys know, super red line he crossed. So I call my dad and I'm like, look, man, the manager's totally messing with me. And he leaves me this book. And he's like, what's the book on? Like, religion. He's like, he left you a religious book, like a Bible? And I'm like, no. Something like, I think he's trying to convert me. But Dad's like, take the book and make sure you photocopy and document everything that you got that's going on in that place. And that's it. He hangs up. I'm like, okay, great. So the other, like, I guess the supervisor, he was a dummy, like a big dummy, right? So he's constantly leaving his keys, and he's always shorting the safe. I mean, like, constantly shorting the safe. And so, you know, we had this log where you had to write what the daily transaction was, and it was signed off by the big a-hole. So I'm like looking, and there's a stack of these things. I'm like, man, let's photocopy these, right? Photocopy everything. Boom. I got that. Take that home. And the big dummy leaves his keys for like the fourth time. So back then, before 9/11, you know, people were selling stuff in the airports, right? So these buddies of mine, they had like these CDs and tapes that they would sell in the airports. Like, yeah, they would let you in Hartsfield. You could just come in and just sell stuff, right? So I hit him up, and I'm like, look, man, this guy keeps leaving his keys, so here's the deal. If he leaves his keys again, I'm going to give you, they're like, you don't have to say anything else. We already know. And I was like, really? He was like, we got you. So dummy leaves his keys again. Scoop the keys, so now I've got to hand these guys the keys before my shift's over and then get out of there. I do that, wake up in the morning you're going to need to come into headquarters and you're going to need to answer some questions.
Uh-oh.
Like, questions about what? And like, we've been robbed. Oh my good God, robbed? How? Like, robbed?
Good God, man. Like, say it is not so.
Say it is so. Like, yeah, they're like, yeah, we got robbed. So I come back to work and everybody's looking at me like, dude, You robbed the place. So I was like, what do you mean I robbed? How'd I rob?
Why did everybody just assume it was you, other than them being correct?
Because it's the manager. This guy just totally painted me as the bad guy. And I was like, I'm not even the bad guy. Right. So I'm like, yeah, this is terrible. So, boom. So they cleaned. And then I told him, I was like, look, just take the big bills. They cleaned it out. Everything. Quarters, nickels. They took everything out of there, right? So here we go, man. So I'm like, great. So I go in, and they're like, you're going to need to take a polygraph. And I'm like, a lie detective? Like, yo, I got to call my attorney. But I didn't say that out loud. And I was like, well, all right. So when do you want me to do this? And they're like, tomorrow. So I call my dad, and I'm like, Dad, this happened. I didn't tell him the whole story, right?
Of course.
So he's like, yeah. So he's like, well, you better go in and talk to management and let them know what's going on with these people. So I was like, okay. So the next morning, when I'm supposed to go in to go do this polygraph, I go to the big manager, the GM of the whole company. And I'm like, look, I got something to tell you. She's like, what's up? I pulled these documents out of the safe being shorted, right? She's like, really? She's like, look, I hated that guy. She hated the manager. She hated him. And she was like, thank you so much. Everybody got fired. The supervisor got fired. The big dummy. The general manager. The manager got fired. Everybody got fired. And they offered me a job at to manage TGI Fridays.
Oh, nice. Nice. Nice.
At TGI Fridays.
Good. Yeah.
All
right.
Well played. I like, just take the big bills.
Oh, my God.
They're going to take everything. That may have happened at two different places that I work.
Uh-oh.
It may have. That is what I've heard. I know that
through
I got
the grapevine, we know.
Just, hey, one time it was at Gigi's. Apparently someone had left the safe open.
Oops.
In a manager's office. Somebody lifted some cash. And the other time was at a... it would have been more like Hudson News, not even a bookstore, but mostly like magazines and stuff for people to travel. And something happened where somebody left the safe open.
Man, oh man.
What a bummer.
What did you trouble follow me, man?
What did you maybe borrow without permission? 206-803-ROCK.
How much money was lifted from those things? Have you heard?
Well, I heard from Chi-Chi's it was $1,000.
Gotcha.
Because apparently the stack of 20s, there's 50 in the stack. So if you steal like the typical stack of cash.
Sure.
If it's ones, it's $50. If it's 20s, it's $1,000.
Gotcha.
And then the Hudson News place that wasn't Hudson News is right around $400.
Right.
That's what I was told.
Drop of the bucket.
I don't know, I'm sipping my tea.
Yeah.
Hello, John.
You want me to come out there and kind of log on? Okay.
Hello, how are you?
Hola.
Hola, John.
Hola, John. You have to live with that?
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's actually Fester.
Fester?
Fester.
All right, Fester, go ahead.
Don't you tell me.
All right, so one summer, I was at a fly-in show, and Okay, all World War II planes and biplanes and Piper Cubs and just, you know, all kinds of old planes and stuff like that. A bunch of old Fargies and stuff. And they had a beer truck. Well, they were selling Solo cups and beer cups for, I don't know, $5 a cup, and you could get as much as you drink, as much as you wanted to. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, as the night progressed, the younger crowd wanted to go to the lake and go skinny dipping. And they're like, well, we need beer and burgers. And I was sitting in the truck, and they said, well, you're the only one sober. And I'm like, okay. Drive the beer truck down to the lake and go get some hamburgers and sell beer down by the lake. I'm like, okay. So back in the day, all you had to do was take the credit card into the restaurant, and they did a machine where they slid it over the top of it and slid it over the back of it, and that was good. You just signed it. It was good. So I bought a big old sack of hamburgers, took the beer truck down the lake.
Oh, no, hard.
My bad.
That thing just fired. Sorry, you didn't say anything bad.
I was like, what the heck?
So I went down to the lake. Sold beer cups until I ran out, and then I recycled them and sold them again. And I brought the beer truck back to the flying show, put the keys where they were supposed to go. And everything was fine. I thought everything's fine. I had all the money, and I got up the next morning, went to the flying show, and they said, oh, somebody sold the beer truck. All the beer's gone. Oh my God, we're out of money. I said, here you go. Here's the money. They said, that's double what we made. I said, yeah, but I sold your beer truck. They said, that's okay. We're okay with that.
Oh, wow.
Hey,
okay.
I don't know why you would fess up to it. Yeah, I did it, man. Here's the money.
Ready on that button, Miles?
I was. Your guess is as good as mine. Cut off the categories, the most obese states in America and the greatest Mariners of all times. And we got your emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.